It seems to be this year that when I've been directed and studied the Word of God for our Christmas services, that I've been directed to characters perhaps that are not as often spoken of, individuals, rather than the particular story simply itself of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought about the virgin birth this morning. We thought of the Lord Jesus Christ being born, and how that the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared unto this young virgin, this young woman, concerning the birth of the Son of the living God. When, you know, whenever we think of the story of Christmas, there certainly is the story of the shepherds and the wise men, and of course the angel's message and all of those other things. I want us to look tonight at another part of that story. And you know, as I was thinking of Mary this morning, I want us to think of another member of that whole story, and yet the very opposite to Mary. I want us to think of the person Herod the king. And I want you to open your Bibles and follow us in the reading of God's Word here in the second chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. See, when we come to Matthew chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ has already been born. We have in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 the message of the angel concerning how that, or rather before that, how that Joseph had sought out a place, and how the manger, in the manger that Joseph and Mary were taken because there was no room for them in the inn, and then Mary gave birth to her child. But when we come here to the chapter 2 of the book of Matthew's Gospel, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is already born. Now, of course, this is an amazing thing, because here we find that in the day of Herod, Herod was the most powerful man of the land, and it's amazing that Herod didn't know. Herod did not know that this one called Jesus was actually born. In actual fact, you'll find that whenever the days of the purification had passed, we find that Joseph and Mary, they went up to Jerusalem, and they took the Lord Jesus there to the temple, and yet Herod knew nothing about it. It's an amazing, he was the king, and he was in Jerusalem, but he didn't even know that this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, had traveled from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, unknown to him. I think it's also amazing when you think of the angel of the Lord appearing there in the Judean hills, and there we find the shepherds were in the field, and they were watching their flock by night, and there was this great stir because there in the heavens the angel appeared and announced a great message there. Behold, or fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which was Christ the Lord. And yet, friend, listen, Herod knew nothing about it. And then the heavens broke out, and by the angelic hosts began to sing. And they sang praises, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. And yet, Herod knew nothing about it. See, most of what happened in chapter 2 here probably happened several months after the Lord Jesus Christ had been born. It is suggested that when the wise men arrived to see the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not like the shepherds to see the little baby, because in actual fact it is suggested that the Lord Jesus was nearing his second birthday whenever those wise men finally arrived to see the Lord Jesus himself. And so the wise men, they had seen the star in the east shortly after the Savior's birth. But you see, it was a long journey. A long journey had taken place, a long, dangerous journey had taken place, because these wise men had come, as the Bible says there in verse 1 of chapter 2, wise men from the east. That's either the Arabian or the Persian area, and they'd come a long journey. And yet the amazing thing is this, and the wonderful truth is this, that although these men faced great danger, although these men faced great discouragements and difficulties along the way, listen, they were determined to get to Jesus. See, the Bible tells us that they that seek him will find him when they seek him with all their heart. And so we find that whenever these wise men came, there was only one question in their mind. It was this: where is he? Where's the king? Where's the king? That was the only thing they were thinking of. Where is he? Look at verse number 2. It says, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Not born to be king someday. Not born desiring to be king. But no, he was born king. He was born king of the Jews. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Notice the emphasis. Where is he? His star. We're come to worship him. Because, friend, that was the Lord Jesus Christ was the center of this whole story. They were coming for no other reason. They were coming to worship Christ. They were anxious to find the Lord. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you anxious to find the Lord? Have you come to God's house tonight seeking to find him? Where is he? Maybe to you, friend, before God, he's a stranger. Maybe even the story is a stranger to your heart because you have not been cradled in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not been brought up with the good news of the gospel from your earliest days. And those that have come to this church from their earliest days and the Sabbath school days and through the Sunday school and the youth fellowship, my, you have heard this story over and over and over again. And yet there are those who have not heard it like this. And to them he is a stranger. But sad thing is this, friend. To many who have heard of Jesus so many times, he is also a stranger. Because they know not him. Here's these wise men, and they have one purpose in coming. They're going to face every danger because there's one desire in their heart. They want to get to the king. They want to see Jesus. They want to see the Savior, this king of the Jews. And so therefore their question, listen, they didn't read about the bush. They had one desire and one desire only. Where's he? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? You know, some people come to the house of the Lord, friend, to be honest, they're indifferent to those things. They come to God's house because that's the done thing. They come to God's house because somebody brings them, or maybe parents force their children to come, and so they come, but they've never really sought the Lord. They've never sought him with their heart because he is a stranger to them. They do not know him. You know, whenever we look around on all the rituals of Christmas, we could ask the question, where is he? We look around all the traditions of man today concerning this Christmas season. Could we not ask the question again in the celebrations of man? Where is he? When we look at those that go out from their workplace and they have their celebration dinners and all the rest of it, friend, let me tell you this. Where is he? Where is Christ in the midst of all of this? We have to say that also in the so-called Christian church, we could ask that question. Where is the Lord in the midst of it? Because all they have is ceremonies and rituals, and yet Christ is nowhere to be found. And the sad reality is that there are many tonight, and they've lost the vision of what this day reminds us of, that this is indeed the Lord's day. And whilst it's true it is a family day, I want to say that this is the Lord's day. And we ought to come to the Lord's house to remember him. Where is he? But I'll guarantee you, if there is that earnest desire in your heart tonight to find him, he'll be found. See, the Word of God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Herod knew nothing about him, but the wise men did. And what they heard about him, let me tell you this, friend, there was something that God wrought in their hearts that day, that they desired to meet him. You know, my earnest prayer is tonight that the Spirit of God's working in your heart, that you will desire to know Him personally as your Lord and Savior. We haven't time to go into it tonight, but listen, there are different Herods in the story in the New Testament. For example, this one here, verse number 1, look, it says this, "And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east in the days of Herod the king." Now, will you remember that whenever John the Baptist was beheaded, there was a Herod that's mentioned in that story, because it was Herod that ordered the head of John to be actually taken off because he wanted to please Herodias. And he wanted to please his sin. But those are two different Herods. The one here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, is Herod, what is known in history as Herod the Great. The one that beheaded John the Baptist was Herod Antipas. And the amazing thing about Herod the Great is this: he only appears in this chapter in the Bible. In actual fact, it's an interesting thought that the chapter that this man appears in the Bible, although history calls him Herod the Great, I'll tell you how little he was instead of how great he was. Let me tell you, before the chapter finishes, friend, yes, the very chapter he's first mentioned in, before the chapter finished, he's dead. He's dead. So he finds out that he's not master of all things. He's not in control. Herod the Great was a vicious, lustful man. He was married 9 times. He had a great quest for absolute power. In actual fact, to have that absolute power, he didn't care who he killed. In actual fact, one of his wives and several of his sons were murdered by him because of his desire to have absolute power. And although secular history calls him Herod the Great, there is no greatness in the character that God records. And remember this, on the day of judgment, it's not the history books that are brought out. It's the record of God. And you know, so many people today, they want people to think that they're great. They want to be acknowledged by man. They want to be seen in the best light by man. They want people to think the best about them. Let me tell you, friend, man that you're trying to please and honor tonight, they'll too pass away. So will I. But when you stand before God, it's not the records on the history books of time that'll count. It's a record of God. And so tonight I want us, just for a few moments, to think about certain little things about this man and yet powerful things. First of all, I want you to think in verse chapter 2 here, verse 3. It says, when Herod the king had heard these things. Listen, what things? That a child was born. And what does the Word of God say? When the king had heard these things, he was troubled because of a child. Was that it? Was that the reason, friend? Because the first thing I want us to have here is the trouble he experienced. What was said by the wise men upset a lot of people, because I want you to notice, not only was Herod troubled, but all Jerusalem was troubled with him. See, when a preacher stands and preaches Christ as the only way of salvation, a lot of people are troubled, friend. A lot of people are upset. Because they have in their mind their way to heaven. They have in their heart their own plan of salvation, their own plan to heaven. Yes, they want to go to heaven, but they will get to heaven their way. And whenever the preacher stands in the pulpit and preaches that there is no way but Christ, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, people get upset. Because that puts the pen through all of their efforts. See, somehow we think that we'll make it our way. That we are the masters of everything. And that's what Herod thought, friend. Let me tell you this. There was nothing that happened in Jerusalem. Herod thought there was nothing happened, but he knew. And just how little he knew. He did not know about Jesus. But why was he troubled when he heard of these words? All these wise men asked was this: where is he? One few words, just a few words. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? What's that? What's that word in there? Where is he that is born of the Jews? No, there's one word missing there. What was that word that you said? Where is he that is born King? Born King? You know, that troubled Herod. And that made him afraid. Because he feared a new king. Because you see, Herod was sitting on the throne. He had been made the king. But he had not been born king. He had been made king. And now he hears about someone who is born king, and he realizes that he is sitting on the throne, and there's somebody else going to take and occupy the throne that he is sitting on. He was afraid of the implications for him, in the coming of Christ. Let me say to you, sinner, tonight, there is a king on the throne of your life. There is a king that's reigning on your throne. Sad to say, it's not Jesus. You see, Christ alone must be king. Do you remember what the Jews cried out whenever they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him"? They said, "We will not have this man to rule over us. We don't want him to be king." And the sad reality is this tonight, that the sinner does not want Jesus to be king. They do not want him king of their lives. Yes, the throne's already occupied by another. There is something, there is someone that is ruling. It is self, it is sin, it is Satan already upon the throne. And if you were to make Christ king of your life tonight, I'll tell you, then the one that's on the throne has got to be dethroned. You've got to bow to a greater king. And Herod didn't want another king. He thought he was enough. Are you here in God's house tonight, friend, to be honest? You're afraid of letting Jesus Christ, king of your life. You see, Herod knew that he would lose influence. He would lose power if there was another king. And when I thought about that, I thought about the sinner. You see, the unsaved person is afraid that Christ will affect your life. You're afraid of Christ affecting your social life. You're afraid of Christ affecting your business life. You're afraid of Christ affecting your influence, maybe your friendships. Because if you made him king, you have to bow to his authority. And Herod was troubled. You know, you don't lose in serving Jesus. The Word of God says, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for soul?" The trouble that he experienced. You troubled tonight? Because I believe with all my heart there's people who have come and gone from this house, and they know they need to be saved. They know that they must be saved. And if they die without Jesus, friend, they know that they will go straight to hell, and that for all eternity. But they're afraid of what it would mean to make Jesus king. Let him rule in their soul. The second simple thought is this. Not only the trouble that he experienced, the truth he enjoyed. The truth he enjoyed. You say, well, what is that? Well, friend, I believe there's two things about the truth that he enjoyed. First of all, there was the truth from the wise men. Look at verse number 2. The wise men said, "Where is he that is born king in the Jew, for king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." We have seen his star. What was this truth that the wise men had gained, friend? Listen, they had read the signs of the time. The signs of the time. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, "And when you see these things come to pass," he said, "look up." He said, "Child of God, your redemption draweth nigh." We live, I believe, with all my heart, in the last of the last days, and the signs of times are everywhere. And friend, even the ungodly say to me sometimes when we're out in the what's happening in the world and the wars and the rumors of wars and the earthquakes and everything in so many different places. And it just seems to be that the whole world's upset tonight. It's unsettled. It seems to be that which seemed so stable, it's not stable anymore. And people say, "There's something happening." And they look at the weather and they say to me, "You know, the weather's all upside down. It's just like society." They say, "You know, it's like the end days." You see, deep in their heart, there's the signs of the times. And these wise men, they had read the signs of the times. They had traveled a very long distance. Do you know why? With the expectation of seeing the Messiah. I wonder tonight, as you look around, signs of times are everywhere. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised he will come again, and those that are ready will go out to meet him. The truth he enjoyed. But there was something else. Look at verse 4 and 5. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together," Herod demanded of them where Christ should be born. "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." Not only the truth from the wise men, the truth of the Word of God. "Thus it is written." You see, God's Word was very clear about where he was to be born. It's amazing that whenever they were asked the question, the chief priests and the scribes of the people, they were able to answer it immediately, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." Yes, they knew the Word of God, but they didn't know the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight, friend, and you know the Bible verses. You know the Scripture. You have been trained or brought up in the Scriptures. You've been taught it from your earliest day. And yet it wasn't until the wise men came. Although these scribes and chief priests and all the rest, although they knew what the Bible said, yet they were totally indifferent. They just didn't care. It meant nothing to them. And as you look at this passage of God's Word, that whilst the wise men, they went finally to seek and to find Christ. And Herod said to them, "Listen, go and search diligently," Luke verse 8, "for the young child. And when you have found him," listen, he didn't say, "I'm coming with you." "If the Messiah is born, I want to see him. If there is a king born, I want to meet him." No, 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 friend. He says, "When you have found him, you go and search for him. I'll not bother my head. I'll not bother." Friend, is that not the way that precious souls come and go from God's house? Totally indifferent. They know there's a heaven. and they know there's a hell, they know there's sin. When it is finished, will bring forth death. They know there's a day of judgment when man stand before God, friend, but they're totally indifferent. Left to man's self, let me tell you this, he will not even desire to know the Lord or to meet the Lord. And just as these men had the word of God, friend, let me tell you, you tonight are without excuse. Because you have the word of God too. You can't say, preacher, I don't know the way. Because Jesus says, I am the way. I don't know how to get to heaven. I don't know why Christ came. You know, I was thinking about that. He said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, you come and tell me. And then I'll go. And friend, let me tell you this. This was Jerusalem. And there's Bethlehem. And believe it or not, there was just a short distance between. So near. Yet so far. And is it not true that there are people who have heard the gospel over and over again, friend? And like Agrippa of old, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And friend, you're so near. There have been times you've been like Felix, you've trembled. And you've been troubled about your soul and about your salvation. And yet you're not saved. And when you stand before God, friend, you're without excuse. Without excuse. Why? Because the answer's in the book. The answer's in the book. And I believe at every home, you have the book that has got the answer. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I want to go very quickly, last few seconds, moments. The terror he engaged. You know, rather than to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, when finally heard, realized, yes, there was the king, you know what he tried, you know what he wanted to do? To wipe him out. Get rid of the king. Get rid of the king. And so he sent the message out to slay the children. Get rid of Jesus. And that's what the world has been trying to do, friend. They've been trying to get rid of Christ, Christianity. Why they want to turn, it's no longer Christmas anymore, it's Happy Xmas. See, they want to get rid of Jesus. You can't sing the carols in many of the shopping centers because you might annoy somebody. You've got to get rid of Jesus. And that's exactly what Herod tried to do. And you see, friend, when Herod himself did not desire to seek the king, the devil took him down a road that drove him further than he ever thought he would ever go. Because sin will take you further than you want to go. Time's away tonight. How does it finish? The tragedy of his end. Notice those words there in the scriptures concerning Herod. The word of God tells me this. Verse 19. When Herod was dead. He's only mentioned once here. And in the one chapter he's mentioned, before the chapter's over, he's dead. You know why he feared? He feared this one born king taking his throne because he wanted possession. He wanted the palace. He wanted popularity. He wanted the people.
before the chapter's over, he's lost them all. See, the devil says to young man, don't you get saved, because if you were to get saved, you know, that'll affect so many different things in your life, friends. I want to tell you, friend, don't get saved. It'll affect your destiny. The devil's a liar. The devil wants to take you to hell. In actual fact, you read the story of Herod, and with this I'm through. Just like all of God's enemies, Herod had to die. And he met the one that he wanted to kill. He met him in eternity. In actual fact, Herod was such an evil man, friend. He knew that he was so unpopular that when he would die, that nobody would mourn over him. And so he planned this. He planned that whenever he would die, that prominent, eminent citizens would be slain. And because of that, these other people dying, people would begin to mourn and they would cry. And therefore there would be weeping and mourning when he would die. Just so therefore it would look upon it that they were mourning for him. What a fool. What a fool. And Herod was dead. Friend, in one moment, Herod went from a throne to hell. And he lost his soul. Now you can say, Herod, you're a fool. Tell me, what about you? What's God saying about you? Because you're living without Jesus. You're facing eternity without Jesus. And friend, before the chapter of this night, this month, this year is over, the word could be written. And she died. Tell me what then? Your loved ones are gathered to mourn. Will there be any hope left behind? Christ is the only answer.